Welcome to News Tribune on Tap. I'm Gary Castor, managing editor at the Jefferson City News Tribune and host of News Tribune on Tap, a weekly conversation about news and issues in Jefferson City that matter to you.
Today's special guest is Dr. Laurel Kramer, a psychologist with SSM Health. Hello, Laurel.
Hi, Gary. Nice to be here today.
Well, it's nice to be here with you as well. I'll share with our readers, we're not really here together. We're in separate locations. Laurel is at a remote location, as am I. And we're trying to exercise some physical distancing here. So this is a phone conference call with Laurel, and I appreciate you joining us today.
Well, thank you. I'm hoping I can share some things that will be helpful to your readers and listeners.
Well, thank you. Well, Laurel, we are in some unprecedented times as the nation grapples with the physical concerns of being exposed to the novel coronavirus, as well as the immense mental health issues that arise as we face this pandemic. So let's start with just what some of the normal feelings we might be facing individually.
Okay, well, let's talk about what's happened just in the last 4 weeks.
Okay.
4 weeks ago, life was humming along, just like we were all going about our business.
Right.
And then suddenly, schools are closed, offices are closed, businesses are closed, and we're all at home. Everything has changed. Everything that grounded us in our world has changed. So for all of us, whether you struggle with mental illness or not, all of us are having to deal with new things. Things don't do well with change. So we're all feeling increased anxiety. We're all dealing with some form of uncertainty about how to get through this time, not knowing how long it's going to last, but it seems like it's going to go on forever. There's not an end in sight because they keep adding another week or two onto being at home.
Right.
And then along with anxiety comes worries, comes depression, comes irritability, which leads to conflicts in the home. And if you're living in your home by yourself or your apartment by yourself, that loneliness is going to also increase your depression. So we're looking at, just for normal people, feelings that we don't usually feel because we're busy with our lives.
Okay. All right. So from this uncertainty and unsettled nature, that stems from maybe security of their jobs to the availability of services. As you say, life has been disrupted. And it strikes me there have been incidents, whether it's the great rush for toilet paper or just shopping frenzies there, hoarding that was especially early on existed. Is that somewhat a result of the uncertainty?
Yes. As human beings, as a species, when uncertainty hits, we want to have some control in our lives. And so the great toilet paper hoarding, so to speak, and, obviously hoarding of Clorox wipes, those sanitizing types of items, the masks, all of those things. We want to protect ourselves. That's a normal reaction,
okay.
Although it's not normal to hoard. But we want to make sure we're going to be safe. We want to make sure our families are going to be safe. And then what happened is we see other people buying more than one. So that increases our uncertainty and our anxiety, and we buy more than one. And then it's sort of that process of, okay, I'm competing now for resources. So, yes, that's normal. But I think in the last couple weeks anyway, some reality checks have gone in place. Some accuracy in the news has helped calm some of those fears about what's going to be available in the stores. But that still doesn't alleviate our own worries about job security, paying bills, and also now that the children, whether it's elementary, high school, or college-age children, they're now home 24/7, And that's adding another layer of stress and worry because many parents don't know how to homeschool their younger kids, and their college kids are home, which hasn't happened in, well, maybe several years for those families. And then the high school children who want to go out and socialize with their friends but can't. I mean, all of that is like putting sneakers in a dryer, so to speak.
Yeah.
You know, and you're hearing the thumps and it's irritating and this and that, and you don't know what's getting destroyed. So that's adding to a lot of anxiety also.
Okay. Well, and let's go into deeper on some of these elements. I know one of the elements, too, is most folks are working at home now. Maybe they didn't previously. And honestly, finding a balance between work and home is a challenge for some folks anyway. But then when you add work is at home and you never escape one or the other, escape maybe is not the best word there. But so what are some challenges that folks are facing in that work-home environment, and what strategies can they use to help deal with it?
Okay, so that's a good question. I think when we work from home, and those listeners who own their own small business understand you're never away from work. You're always working at home or you're working at work. And those of us that work in an office or a setting outside of our home often have a break. When we go home, we can kind of shut down the work mind and open up the home mind. And now that we're working from home, so to speak, it's harder to have those boundaries for many people. So it really becomes, how do I split up, how do I separate taking care of myself personally to keep myself calm and in a positive frame of mind so I can deal with focusing on work? And then how do I take care of my family and my children and my partner so that we all get along pretty peacefully during this unusual time? So it's about understanding that you can't just tell yourself, don't worry. Stop being anxious. Don't worry, because you're going to do that anyway. But it can be helpful to separate concern, because that leads to action. I'm concerned about how the day is going to go, for example, versus worrying about things, because that's like being on a hamster wheel. You go round and round and round, and you don't really get off and make changes. So some suggestions to do for that particular element in the home is to set yourself up in the routine that you had prior to this. Start work at a time of day, 8 or 9, like you used to. Take a break after a couple hours. Take a lunch break. Take an afternoon break. And then stop at 5 o'clock so that you have some normal routine to your day. Now, that's easy when you have just adults in the home. But it's harder when you have younger children because you're trying to homeschool them and set up their times, and they're interrupting you. And so that becomes more difficult.
Right. But I recall my many years ago when I had young children in the home. I mean, that is a critical element there, is you try to create a routine for them as well, because their world is upside down, and there is some comfort in having a routine, having a kind of a set of expectations there for all members of the family.
Yes, and that's a good point, Gary. You and I are from a generation, not saying any ages here.
Oh, thank
you. Where we didn't have technology bothering us 24/7. So the parents now with the younger children, the elementary school children, the middle school children, they're in their 30s and 40s and maybe even younger, but they're the ones that have been raised on technology 24/7. So they are used to never turning things off. So creating that kind of structure that you and I have in mind from what you just said is different. It's not going to come as naturally, but it is equally as important, especially for children through age 15 or 16 to set that time of, okay, it's time to get up. Now, you don't have to get them up as early as you would for school so they can sleep in a little bit. But don't let them sleep till noon because you want to get a lot of things done.
Right.
And let's say on your work schedule. Get them up at 8 or 9, have them eat breakfast, then give them some tasks to do, maybe in another room while you do your tasks. And know that they're going to interrupt you. So maybe you're not going to be working on a very intense project for work. But also realize that your employer probably isn't expecting you, if you have children at home, to put together those huge projects that you have to do. So everybody's giving everybody some space. But it's more important to set limits with, okay, let's work for 45 minutes. I'm setting a timer, for example. And when it dings, we'll take a break and go outside in the yard.
Yeah.
I mean, that's always a helpful thing to do.
To me, it kind of goes to just generally in life, you kind of have to manage your expectations there, you know. So if you have preschool children, they maybe aren't as tied to a schedule. But if they, once they hit elementary school, that's a pretty regimented schedule if they're in the public schools, for instance. So, you know, but by the same token, don't expect that you're going to be able, as you say, to do that in-depth report while also serving as a teacher at home.
Yes, setting your expectations is a good idea. So, for example, I know for myself, every day seems different. Every day that I wake up, I watch a little bit of the news, not all day because that gets your anxiety going, so limiting that. But I want to know, okay, where are we today with things? What am I going to walk into today? So in some ways, I kind of get a the first thing in the morning is I kind of assess what's happening in the world around me. Then I set my intention of how I want to handle my day, you know, for my own self-care.
Mm-hmm.
How do I want to feel today? Well, I don't like feeling depressed and anxious, so what do I need to do to keep that lower? And then I know through the day it's going to get hit here and there. And probably after lunch or early afternoon, I may be feeling more irritable and cranky and, you know, but I'm mindful about starting my day with prayer, a positive type of prayer, or listening to something on the computer that sets my positive intention. Just for today, you know, that kind of AA mantra, I'm going to deal with this as best I can. I'm going to keep myself safe. I'm going to try to care about my loved ones and my workplace and patients in a kind and caring manner, and try to give everybody some extra emotional distance because I know they're dealing with a lot too. So when somebody is short-tempered back with me, I'm not going to get into an argument. I'm going to step back and take a deep breath and say, okay, I know they're dealing with a lot. I'm going to let that go and just respond to whatever the situation is. It has to be solved. And, you know, I use a YouTube video by someone named Lois Herman, and she has a website, loisherman.com, that she has specifically created in the last month several very positive types of ways to think about things. So I would encourage people, if they want to do that, or maybe they have their own sites, to go to that, because that can really help keep a positive mind and keep yourself grounded every day. So that's my intention, to ground myself every day.
Okay.
And then in the afternoons and definitely the evenings, if you're living by yourself, it can get really lonely. And you get home and it starts getting dark, or you're home and it starts getting dark, and you're feeling really lonely. That's another time to reach out, either by telephone or video or FaceTime or Instagram, whatever you have available. Call a friend. Mm-hmm. See a face-to-face interaction, because that connects you, even though we're apart. It connects you with somebody else dealing with the same stresses that you are. And that is very comforting for us as human beings.
I think that's an awesome idea, and I had not thought of that, but also just to reach out to folks, even if you're feeling well, they may not be, and just to reach out with a phone call or an email, just checking on them.
Right, and I think, you know, as I read in Sunday's paper, you guys
Thanks
have been doing
plug.
Awesome. You guys have been doing some awesome articles.
Thank
so in the Sunday paper on the mental health in that first section, you've listed some numbers for people to call that are in crisis, that just need, you know, to talk to somebody and calm them down.
Yeah.
I'll let you, you know, put that out if you want to. But otherwise, you know, we're all dealing with the same thing. So just hearing another human voice, not on the TV, not YouTube, but in the moment, can be very calming. And in talking about, hey, I've had a long day. It's been lonely, or I'm with my family, and I just want to throttle their necks.
Can be
very helpful just sharing, because they'll share their stresses of the day too.
Yeah.
And then when we help each other, or we reach out to somebody, even a neighbor next door, hey, can I walk your dog? Okay.
Yeah.
Or, hey, I'm going to the grocery store. Do you need me to pick something up? You don't have to go out. Doing those pay it forward kindnesses can also, it actually goes to the reward center of our brain when we're kind to others, and it helps release those good endorphin feelings, those good chemicals.
Yeah.
And reduces the stress in our brain.
Well, and I found personally, I mean, whether it's talking to friends or family by phone especially, just to hear their voice, it brings that level of, it seems like you almost capture some normalcy again, even just talking about the most mundane things.
You know, our daily lives in the last 10 years, because of competition with jobs and schools and everything, we are so busy. And I think this forced time to just simplify our day-to-day lives can be really a silver lining in the darkness around us, because it gives us a chance to stop all the busyness that we've filled our lives with and our children's lives with, and allows us to look at what's important. I know that being too busy, you get too stressed, and then the stress hormones flow into your body and create mental health problems and physical health problems.
Mm-hmm.
But it sort of gives us a time to reboot and maybe relook at, okay, when we come out of this, how do I want to spend this time? Maybe I want to keep supper time with the kids, or maybe I want to keep that giggle fest that we did, crazy dancing around the house, you know, or, you know, there's things that you're going to find moments of laughter and enjoyment with. And those are the things to carry forward.
All right. Well, Laurel, thank you very much for the conversation.
Okay. Thank you.
I want to share some of the ways that we're trying to cover the community's response to the COVID-19 threat. On our website, we've created some general announcement pages where cancellations and announcements from businesses and government are being listed. We're updating the site regularly through the day with information, both locally and regionally, as it comes into us. If you have a print subscription, I'd encourage you to activate your digital subscription so that you can stay up to date as we update our news report throughout the day. From a coverage standpoint, we've pulled all of our coronavirus stories from behind our paywall. We see that as a public service so that you can be engaged and make informed decisions for yourself and for your family. At times like this, information is vital to the public safety. To that end, our mission is to provide that information to you. For us, it's a 365-day mission. I'd encourage you to consider subscribing to the News Tribune to help us fulfill that mission. You're not only investing in your community newspaper, but in your community itself. As always, we do welcome your story ideas or questions. You can send them to news@newstribune.com. Be safe, be informed, and wash your hands.
Thanks for listening. You can find News Tribune on tap at newstribune.com, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Play.